Okay, our guest this morning is former Lubbock Mayor Pro Tem and City Councilwoman for District 5, Karen Gibson, who is in her second full four-year term as a councilwoman. And wow, the hits just keep coming from City Hall. I'm telling you, the news is just overpowering. Let's talk about some of the things that are going on down at City Hall. Let's talk about first something that you made some news recently about, and that's a 2.5 cent tax increase. Early indications are you're not going to be a supporter of that.
I am not.
Explain that to us.
Well, I go through the budget every year.
Right.
And I go through it, and I'm doing now with every department head. And as I go through it, I just can't see where we're going to need it so far. If indeed they're saying we're going to need it, I certainly don't see that we're going to need 2.5 cents at all up to this point. I normally go through it three times, and through my first way through it, I just indications that I'm seeing are a no.
Okay. Do you think right now, in your opinion, just your personal opinion, do they have the votes to pass it?
Indications that I'm seeing, yes.
Okay. I was interested by this 2.5 cent tax increase when it appears to me that since 2012, since the actually end of the recession, nationwide recession. Mm-hmm. Please understand that between 2008 and 2012, a previous city council of which you were half a part of from 2010 to 2012, as you know, we were going through the worst recession since the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
Sales tax flat, building permits flat. But it appears to me as I drive around Lubbock and I see Costco and I see Cabela's and I see these massive multi-million dollar apartment house complexes mm-hmm. going up, that, and I'm not sure what the evaluations are going to come in at, but it looks like the growth has been phenomenal around Lubbock, especially in sales tax increase.
Well, and I think that's part of my issue, Paul. The sales tax, they've got it estimated at a 3% growth, and with everything that's going on, and we've had rain. The crops look good. We've had growth. Cabela's came in. We've got restaurants coming in. We've got building. Now, permits aren't necessarily up, but they're up there. They're not, it's not stopping. They're not stopping building by any means.
No.
Appraisals are up. People are buying. People certainly haven't stopped buying. And over the last 3 years, sales tax revenues have averaged a 6% growth, and they're only got forecasts for a 3% growth. And
well, I think they should always err on the side of caution.
I don't disagree with
right.
that. However, I think 3% is ultra conservative
right.
when you're trying to forecast. And I understand staff. I do. I just think when you're looking at a 2.5 cent increase for property tax, and you know sales tax, as you know, you have to kind of play with that.
Sure, absolutely.
And you do.
You can't. Nobody can hit it absolutely
you
on the nose.
You can't. And we do have a consultant that comes in and tells them what his forecast is going to be, and always has. For the last several years. But I still think even if you go 5%, that's still pretty conservative based on the last 3 years of what we've had. Last year was over 8% growth.
And that would be a massive amount of money.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's over $1 million right there. And you know, 2.5 cents, you're looking at $3 million. Well, that's $1.1 million, I think, something around those.
Right.
So, you know, I just, as you look through it and look at it, that's, you can find significant amounts. Is 5% what you should forecast? I don't know. Is it a little scary for staff? Yes.
I was surprised, and I want to get your reaction. If you have, and you may not have a reaction to this, but I was surprised to read in the local newspaper where current city manager James Loomis, a man who I admire a great deal, Vietnam veteran, a great guy, ex-military helicopter pilot. I mean, the guy who's been there and done that and got the T-shirt. Mm-hmm. But I was surprised to see him advocating for a tax increase in the newspaper. That is completely out of school. As I look back in the past 50 years in Lubbock's history, no city manager that I can ever remember ever got on the front page of the paper advocating for a tax increase. As you know, as a member of the city council, y'all direct the city manager to bring you a budget based on XXX. It might be no sales tax increase, a 3% increase, a 5% increase. Bring us a budget that is flat. But I was stunned to see James in the paper advocating for a tax increase. That's not his job. That's your job. Or not.
I have an awful lot of respect for James, and I think he's done a really good job.
And I do also.
I know you do. I know you do. I think the whole city council does. I'm not sure where that came from, other than, you know, we are still financing street maintenance, and you know, and you know as well, when you served on council with me, that that wears me out. I think we've got to get away from that. I think he sees that. He's trying to figure out a way to get away from that.
Right.
And that could possibly be his thinking. I don't know. I don't know.
Right. Well, I don't want you to speak for James. That's an unfair question, certainly. But it's interesting. But, Karen, let's go back and look at some of the streets that you and I worked on while we were on the council together for the 2 years between 2010 and 2012. Those streets are going to last 70 years. Those are concrete streets. Mm-hmm. Quaker, Indiana,
Milwaukee,
all of those streets, they're made out of concrete. They're not chip seal streets that are going to start going to hell in a handbasket next summer, you know, when it gets 112 again. But I can understand financing something that's going to last 70 years. Sometimes I can't understand financing something that might last 5 years.
Right.
So with a 10-year debt. I mean, but all of that aside, let's move on to something else. If you've got a question for Ms. Gibson, you can give us a call at 1-800-687-0790. 1-800-687-0790 or 770-5790. We're going to take a break and come back and talk about the Omni building. We're going to talk about $134 million in bonds and a new police station and a lot of other stuff here on the Chad Hastie Show. I'm Paul R. Bean, and our guest is City Councilwoman Karen Gibson. Welcome back, everybody, to the Chad Hastie Program. I'm Paul R. Bean, and our guest is Karen Gibson, Lubbock City Councilwoman from District 5, which covers a massive amount of South and Southwest Lubbock. A lot of talk going on around City Hall about a new police station. I think the price tag that I read was, and I don't stay as involved as I once did. Hey, what, $67 million, is that right?
Yeah.
Is it going to become a reality, you think?
It needs to become a reality. We were even talking about it when you were on council, and I think it's time. It's time we've do something. The city needs a new police station. It's time we do something. Yes.
You know, years ago, a decade or so ago, the county commissioner's court voted to build a new Lubbock County Detention Center, a new lockup, a new jail.
Mm-hmm.
And they put the issue before the voters. It passed overwhelmingly, and the price was close to around $90 million. The jail ended up costing about $111 million,
mm-hmm.
all the while the commissioner's court was saying it was on budget. I never did understand that math, but that's a different story for a different day. But Do you think it should go before the voters?
I think when the CAC came to us with the police station, they said we need to get started immediately and not put it on the bond due to time. They didn't want it to go before the bond. And I think their thinking was it needs to get rolling now.
Were they afraid it wouldn't pass?
I don't think so. I think everybody in Lubbock knows it, knows we need a police station. I don't think that's a big secret at all. I think a lot of it is it just needs to move forward. Everyone knows it needs to move forward. I don't think that was an issue.
How does an elected official square the conflicting ideas that the voters are smart enough to elect them, but maybe not smart enough to approve a new police station?
Paul. I think they're smart enough to elect us to make decisions on public safety, health, and that's our job.
Right.
I mean, that's what we do. That's our job. We have to make those tough decisions to move things forward, such as police station. And you just have to weigh it. Do you take it before the voters and wait again for another year? Or do you move forward with it instead of waiting for that year to move forward?
Interesting. I wonder if there was ever any consideration given to maybe talking to the folks at LEPA and maybe working with them on a different location and assuming the DPS building and building onto it for a police station.
I think there's been a lot of talk.
Yeah? And none of it came to fruition.
I don't think so.
Omni building, an eyesore in downtown Lubbock for years and years and years. There's been some half-hearted efforts to make it nice. They have failed due to, I guess, a lack of total financial commitment to the project. Because I have been in that building in the past several years where the first two and three floors were gorgeous, mm-hmm. wonderful. But let's face it, it's fallen into disrepair. There's water in the basement. It's a wreck. Mm-hmm. Some of the flooring in the upper floors does not even extend all the way to the walls. And as a matter of fact, you can walk up several floors in the Omni building and look down and see several floors below you because the flooring does not. Now, the beams go all the way to the wall, obviously, but the flooring does not.
That's correct.
So you've probably been in the building.
I have not.
Don't go. Take some advice from
I'll
me. Don't go.
Leave that to the engineers,
yeah,
architects.
Don't go. But I understand the purchase price is going to be about $1.2 million, and what are the plans for it?
We don't have any plans. We have not purchased the building.
Well, I know you haven't.
It is under a feasibility study, and that is to see if it could be used in some kind of a reuse situation for the city. So until we get anything back, we actually don't know anything.
So you've not tendered an offer?
No, sir. Well, we've...
Don't call me sir. Stop it.
Stop it. We've actually got an offer on the building contingent on the feasibility study.
Okay. And what are you hoping the feasibility study will show?
Well, to see if it is reusable. Do I think it'll come back? Probably not. I don't know. I don't know enough about that building. I've heard good about it. I've heard we can reuse it. I've heard we can't reuse it. It's gone back and forth for so long, Paul, that who knows what it's going to come back as.
After this program, will you please give me the name of the person who said it's reusable, because I want to make sure I don't get around them anymore because they are totally nuts.
Well, you know, and then you've got the cost if you do get it and it's not reusable,
right,
of bringing it down,
right.
And then that could be astronomical. And
I'm not interested. I mean, some folks might tell you that you might have to take out that whole block.
Oh, yeah.
Nuts.
That's just been that has been a huge thorn in everyone's side.
Okay, this dog park thing. I mean, what do we need? We need a chain link fence and a pooper scooper in a city park.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how it's going to cost $500,000 for a dog park.
Who is behind this deal?
I don't know.
I don't know.
That was on the CAC. They said they got overwhelming response for a dog park. And that's why it's on there.
I can understand that. I mean, people in Lubbock love their animals, and I like dogs.
Sure.
And sure.
I still can't figure out where it's going to cost $500,000, but it's just like every other contract, you know.
That's $350,000 more than my house is worth.
For chain link fence.
For chain link fence and some plastic gloves and a trash can.
I'm sure there's more to it than I know, obviously. But I'm having a hard time getting my head around that.
$500,000 sounds like a dog spa, not a dog park.
I know.
I think the reasoning for the animal lovers, for the people who have their dogs, is they want their dogs to be able to run.
Sure.
And that's okay.
And I get that.
Right, me too, I guess.
What I don't get is $500,000 for it.
I mean, whew. I didn't know my friend Todd Klein was still there. You know, he's a big advocate for the dog park. And,
yeah.
You know, he loves his dogs, and that's okay. But $500,000? Give me a break here. Okay, the bond committee wants about $134 million. City Council weighs proposal that would pay for tornado sirens, street repairs, and dog park. Let's talk about tornado sirens. Are you a believer in them?
No.
I'm not either, and I'm on record as being, because I was there the night of May the 11th, 1970.
I was too.
Me and my family in my mobile news unit at 13th and Avenue A. So I've been there. I didn't hear the tornado sirens, and I was standing outside dodging timber, describing the tornado. But anyway. We'll get back to that after this next break. Coming up, we'll talk about tornado sirens, and we'll talk about $134 million in bonds and some other City Hall issues coming up with Lubbock City Councilwoman and former Mayor Pro Tem Karen Gibson. I'm Paul R. Bean for Chad Hastie, and we'll be back right after this.
Is a burning thing.
That's old Johnny Cash there with some country and western trash for you. Ring of Four. I love Johnny Cash. He left this earth owing me 35 cents.
Well, better to owe you.
Absolutely. Than to beat me out of it.
There you go.
It goes back to 1958 at KSST in Sulphur Springs, Texas. Those were the days where you made a long-distance phone call and the operator would call you back and give you the charges.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
That was way before my time, Paul.
I understand it was. I just read it in the history books.
Yeah.
It was before my time.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that was the price of a long-distance phone call to his wife in Tennessee from Sulphur Springs, Texas. And I didn't have change for a 50-cent piece, so... Anyway, he left owing 35 cents. Good guy,
wow.
Johnny Cash. Let's talk about water rates, because water rates have been a contention. It's always a part of any political campaign in Lubbock, Texas, the water rates and the fees.
Mm-hmm.
So what's in the budget for water rates this coming fiscal year?
They are... they have proposed not to go down on the rate and to go up on the, I guess to keep the volume at 7.83%, to go up on the volume rate.
Right. The consumption rate's going to increase and,
yes.
And fees are not.
Yes. And what I'm going to propose is to go down on the base rate $2, go from 18 to 16. And only go up on the volume rate, volume 5%. I've had Cheryl run the models for me, and it works. I think we've got enough in reserves, over reserves, to cover that. Now, I understand we have a big water debt, and I have not run any of this by the Water Commission, but from the rate models that we have, it does work. We didn't think, they were very concerned even last year when we went down to even $18, but we still have plenty of our reserves. We're still doing okay. We're still paying our debt. And so I think coming down in small increments to make sure everything's still working is the way to go. And I would like to come down again. I'm going to propose that we come down again to 16 with only a 5% increase in the volume instead of the 7.83.
Well, I've always been a subscriber to the philosophy that the water wasters and the water users should pay more.
I don't disagree, but I think you come down and go up in smaller increments instead of and see where you're at, but come down every year a little bit and possibly go up a little bit in your volume every year.
Let's talk about solid waste for a moment. Going to be any increase there? What's going on in solid waste?
Well, they've proposed an increase of, I believe it's $3.75 for the tipping fee. And I ran some models on that, and I don't believe we need a tipping fee increase. Their thinking on that was in case one of the sales goes out, to make sure we had enough. Well, we're there once again. We have more than enough. We have money over our reserves. That's what those reserves are there for. If in case something does happen to one of the sales, I know those are expensive. They're like $7 million. I understand that. But at this point, we're well over our reserves. I don't believe we need an increase, and I'm going to come with a proposal not to have an increase on that also.
Any talk in solid waste of maybe going to residential pickups once a week? Because I notice in our backyard or in our alley, the dumpster, they pick it up twice a week. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's not five pieces of garbage in it when they pick it up.
Well, I don't think so, Paul, because that may be yours, but I think there's other areas that may be full twice a week.
Well, you may be right. I don't go down the alley checking dumpsters any longer.
Well, but you know, you and sure. Francis are two people, and then you've got families of a lot of people. So right. I don't think that would be feasible in certain areas at all.
The smoking ban. Yeah. Where do you stand on this proposed smoking ban?
Well, if that does come before council, I will not vote for it.
You don't smoke.
You're right, but I believe that's a business owner's prerogative. If they choose to have their business non-smoking, they should be able to have their business non-smoking.
All,
I don't think the council needs to tell them.
Those that have smoking in their businesses, they have had to jump through a bunch of hoops in order to provide the mechanical equipment inside their building that was required by the city years ago when they passed basically a smoking ban.
That's true.
And exempted a few people if they would do this and if they would do that. And many of the folks in Lubbock, or a few of the places, as an example, I shop at a cigar store, and you can smoke in the cigar store. Mm-hmm. Duh. I mean, yeah. But they have, you know, additional equipment installed in order to be compliant with this City of Lubbock Health Department.
Well, they when they were speaking last week at City Council, the the group for the Smoke-Free Lubbock brought us a list of 167 businesses that allow smoking in Lubbock. Mm-hmm. I went through, and of that 167, 93 of them were either bars or smoke shops or bingo halls, 93 mm-hmm. of them. The rest of them were they showed hotels or places like that, but they only allow smoking in their bars.
Right.
And so, when you look at that 167, the majority of the places that you can smoke are bars or bingo halls or smoke shops. And some businesses may allow it, but like you said, they've either jumped through hoops or they're a private business, and I think they should be able to do with their own property what they choose.
So do you think that if the smoking ban passes, do you see later on a ban on alcohol and maybe on Big Macs because they cause obesity, maybe soft drinks because they cause diabetes, or maybe even fresh fruit, which are loaded with certain sugars.
Well, I think it opens a can of worms.
It's just nuts.
It's just not crazy. I just don't think it's the right thing to do.
You know, these people, you know, it just if you don't like smoke, don't go there. You know, vote with your pocketbook, folks.
Well, I think that's what would happen. And, you know, there are several restaurants that were or even bars that were smoking and chose to go non-smoking on their own and are doing just fine.
Right.
Absolutely fine.
So, I don't know. Okay, let's talk about synthetic marijuana. You have had some success in the war on synthetic marijuana. And you've come under some criticism from some people on this radio station for that. Give us a status report.
When I went and talked to Matt Powell, I just basically said, I've got to have some help.
Okay.
I can't get it done on municipal level. And I kind of told him my story, and he said, absolutely, we'll run with it. And they have. And they have. We've got a couple of them closed down. We've got the AG involved, and they're sending letters. And so it's working.
Right. I see the raids on television from time to time.
You just get enough people involved, and you go talk to enough people, and you can get things done. And that's what I'm doing.
Absolutely. Well, great. That's great. All right. Karen Gibson is our guest this morning. She's the city councilwoman for District 5, a large portion of South and Southwest Lubbock. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with the final show segment here in this hour. And we'll let Ms. Gibson discuss what she sees on the horizon for the city of Lubbock. And we might ask her about her political ambitions. It's all next on the Chad Hastie Program. I'm Paul Arbeen, and you're not. Welcome back, everybody, to the Chad Hastie Program. I'm Paul R. Bean. Had a drive-by caller. Like to know why the city of Lubbock is running the sprinkler system at Miller Park and over here by Kingsgate. When it's raining, you want to touch that, Ms. Gibson?
Well, I will touch on that. First of all, we need to tell him I did just text City Hall and let them know.
Right.
They're probably on timers, but
certainly
I did text them and let them know that. And thank you for letting us know.
Absolutely good. There was I thought something that was rather silly come up in the last City Hall runoff election. The eventual winner, Landslide Griffith, who won by 5 votes, he wants to buy a truck. The way I understand this, he wants to buy a water truck and then drive around when the fire department flushes the fire hydrants and somehow recapture that water. I don't think that, you know, what's summer consumption there? Around 90 million gallons a day, 90 million gallons. So we're going to buy some trucks and hire some extra people to go around to pick up 1/1000th of 1% or less of the water that you have to. First of all, you've got to make sure those fire hydrants work. You know, for years and years, the fire department didn't do the checking of the fire plugs. The water department did, until one time, several years ago, they run to a fire, hook up a fire hose to a hydrant, and it didn't work. And so from that moment on, the Lubbock Fire Department has checked all of the fire hydrants themselves.
That's right.
Because they want to know if it's going to work. They want to know if they can put out a fire. They want to know if they can save some lives or maybe save a building. So that's the reason. Are you interested in buying some trucks and some hoses to go around and recapture this?
When Marsha Reed was here,
right,
I actually talked to her about that. And we sat down and actually discussed that thoroughly. It is not worth taxpayer money what you what the cost is on the trucks and the people to do it.
Can I put it another way? It's the silliest damn thing I've ever heard of.
Well, it's not worth the money. It's the concept is really good, but as far as the money that it costs the taxpayers, when you sit down and look at what it costs in manpower and time and coordination, and because you have to coordinate with the firefighters to do that.
Yes.
And you have to buy the trucks, and right. then you're spending gas to go back and forth. Right. And it's just when you see it
and they
laid
send a,
out.
You send a truck out to a fire hydrant, and all of a sudden that fire truck has to go make an emergency call.
Right.
Because they're on call all the time.
You yes.
know, when they're inside United buying some groceries, they've got their radios mm-hmm. in their ear. They're ready to run at mm-hmm. at a moment's notice, at an instant. So mm-hmm.
It looks like it's a lot more water than it is coming out. But they're
pour a gallon of water down your curb and see how far it goes.
Yeah. I mean, I was very concerned when I first came on council. Of course,
right.
you know, I was going to come on and handle everything. But the reality of it is it's not feasible.
Do you like what you're doing?
I love what I do. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
What's the most enjoyable part of being on the council?
You know, I think the most enjoyable is getting to know people. And I know that sounds really cliche, but it really is. I'm having lunch today with a constituent. He is 17 and he just wants to get involved. And it's things like that. This kid, he just wants to know more about City Hall. And so I get to do things like that, that I wouldn't have gotten to do otherwise. And it's just little things like that. I love budget time.
Really?
I do. I love getting in there and digging and finding, but you know, I'm a numbers person. And so stuff like that just intrigues me. And I really do. We really have a good staff at City Hall and they're good to work with. And I go down there and stomp my feet and we work through things.
Can we continue the 2-for-1 retirement match on new employees at City Hall?
You know, Paul, that to be honest with you, that is not something I have actually looked at. I do know it does need to be looked at.
Right.
And I know you have looked at it several right. times. But that has not been on the forefront. I've had so many other things that I've been looking at that has not been at the forefront.
Right. We need to take another break right quick. And by the way, to catch up on the drive-by callers, somebody called, and this is not related to what we're talking about, but he said Don Bowman also needs to be in the West Texas Walk of Fame, which I agree with. A longtime Lubbock disc jockey, moved to California, recorded some comedy records, I believe for RCA Victor, and one of the funniest guys I have ever heard on the radio in my life, Don Bowman. This is the Chad Hasty Program. I'm Paul Arbain, and we'll be right back. Back with the Chad Hasty Program, wrapping up with City Councilwoman Karen Gibson, North and East Lubbock Development Corporation. Are we going to ever fill up that hole over there with money?
I don't know. You know, the first time that money was voted on for the oil royalty money to go over there, I voted against that, and I will vote against that again.
And you voted against the, what, about 900 over there, 900K or something?
Yes.
Do you enjoy politics?
Yes, very much so.
I get the impression that you like it so much that that you want to continue in the political arena. Is that a fair assessment?
That is a fair assessment. I love public service. And, you know, I don't know where it'll take me. We'll see. I'm just at the beginning of this 4 years, so.
While you were always knowledgeable about the subject, you were, when you came on the council in 2010, if you'll forgive me, a small favor here. You were very timid mm-hmm. speaking in public.
Yes.
You're a lot better now. You're doing good, girl. You're learning how to talk.
I know. Sometimes that's not very good. Sometimes that's unfortunate.
I understand. Well, thank you for coming in today, and thanks for bringing us the rain. And good luck with the city budget. I know it's a trying time for you folks down there as you try to work through it.
Well, it's going to be a tough budget year, but I think we'll all get through it.
Good. All right. Thanks very much. Our guest this morning on the Chad Hasty program has been Lubbock City Councilwoman and former Lubbock Mayor Pro Tem Karen Gibson.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, and we'll see you later.